The title for my homily this afternoon is
Good Friday in the Soviet Union.
Now, for those of you who are young, you might not know what the Soviet Union is. This was the states in Eastern Europe that from 1918 till 1989 was under the profound influence of an evil regime called Soviet Communism. And I've entitled my homily Good Friday in the Soviet Union because I want to tell you the story about a remarkable priest, a man by the name of Father Walter Chicek. Father Chicek was born in 1904 and was called to the priesthood, and he was called to be an Ignatian priest, so to follow in the order of Saint Ignatius. And he was training at the Jesuit seminary in New York City when in 1928, Pope Pius XI issued a decree, really, an invitation to Jesuits to consider going to the Soviet Union. And as a man who was being formed as a Jesuit, this spoke to his heart. Eventually, he went to Rome, where he trained, he learned the language, he learned to be able to prepare himself to go into the Soviet Union. And in March of 1940, his wishes were fulfilled. He found himself on a train with workers from Poland, for he had been in Poland prior to going to the Soviet Union, and he was sent to work in an area in the Ural Mountains. Here, he was struck and disillusioned by what he found, because here as a priest, he thought he would be able to work with the people at this camp where they were working, logging, so that these logs could be used for the construction of all sorts of things in the Soviet Union. But of course, because of the oppressive nature of Soviet communism, no one would be willing to talk about the faith. Indeed, we have that sense in today's gospel where Joseph of Arimathea was a disciple of Jesus, but he was a secret disciple. One of the key themes that comes through John's telling of the Passion is how the collusion between Rome and the Jewish authorities leads to a kind of suppression that makes people incredibly fearful. Such was the experience that Father Walter had in the Soviet Union. But he was resolved to the fact that this is what he was called to do, until one night at 3 a.m, he was arrested and accused of being a spy, an informer for the Vatican. He was taken to Moscow, where for the next almost 6 years, he was held in solitary confinement in Lubyanka prison. Through that first year of his solitary confinement, he was repeatedly interrogated. At first, he thought, I can handle this. I'm strong-willed. I can counter whatever the Soviets throw at me. But a year into this terrible interrogation, he was profoundly disillusioned with himself. He was persuaded to sign literally hundreds of pages. He'd have to put his signature at the bottom of each page, basically agreeing with his interrogators that he was a spy for the Vatican. He thought, well, at least this is going to get me out of the prison, and maybe I'll get to a labor camp. Not so. He would spend another 4.5 years in Lubyanka prison, after which he would be sent to Siberia, where he would spend the next 15 years. But I want you to listen to part of what Father Walter came to see about himself as he was in solitary confinement after having signed all of those papers. He wrote, I had asked for God's help and had really believed in my ability to avoid evil and to meet every challenge. I had been thanking God all the while that I was not like the rest of men. I had relied almost completely on myself in this most critical test, and I had failed. He then writes, I knew that I must abandon myself completely to the will of the Father and live from now on in the spirit of self-abandonment to God. And I did it. I can only describe the experience as a sense of letting go, giving over totally my last effort or even any will to guide the reins of my own life. It is all too simply said, yet that one decision has affected every subsequent moment of my life. I have to call it a conversion. It was at once a death and a resurrection. So imagine, in solitary confinement, in a room 6 by 10, all he had was a bed which he could not sit on during the daytime. During the daytime, he had to either stand or sit on the floor. And in that place, he came to this realization of what would it mean to truly surrender himself to God. 4 years later, as I said, he was then sent to Siberia, where he would work on average 15 hours a day of hard labor. He was returned to the States in 1963, where he lived for another 21 years and died at the age of 80 in 1984. The cause of his canonization is currently before the Vatican. There's something about this man's life that I think is so encouraging for us today. Beloved, we don't live in that kind of dictatorship that is calculating in the way that it is. But as we heard in the gospel, as was experienced in the Soviet Union, and as can be always experienced, and again in our culture because of the prevalence of social media and the particular worldview that it puts forward, we can also be intimidated. We can also be cowed into a kind of silence. But Good Friday is always here to tell us that Jesus is inviting us in our own way to discover what Father Walter discovered and far earlier what St. Paul discovered when St. Paul wrote, "I have been crucified with Christ. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who died and gave himself for me." To be truly crucified with Christ, to give up our lives and to say, "Jesus, I am yours." It's easy to read, it's easy to say, it is profoundly difficult to do. But when we come to a deeper understanding of what it means to make this kind of surrender, then this other verse from Paul, which is remarkably and thoroughly Catholic, is so important. Colossians 1:24. "I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, that is the church." Now this is absolutely ridiculous. Is St. Paul a glutton for punishment? And how is it possible that St. Paul can make up in his body what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ? Is not what Christ has done complete? And indeed it is. But listen to the words of another man who also understood the reality of Soviet communism, Pope St. John Paul II. And in reflecting on the suffering of Jesus, John Paul II said, yes, his suffering is absolutely complete in terms of what he did to accomplish our salvation. But John Paul II says that although this is true, this verse from Paul is one where we are to discover that Jesus invites us to participate with him in the redemption of the world. Jesus is extending to us a sliver, a particle of his cross, so that we can become co-workers with him. This is so that as those who are co-redeemers with Jesus, he is extending a particular dignity and grace to us to discover what it is to so identify with him in his passion. It is this that the saints have always known. It is this that is at the heart of what Father Čižek says in the very last paragraph of the book that I have referred to called He Leadeth Me. And let me read these words. And by the way, this book was written in 1973. He writes, "What can ultimately trouble the soul that accepts every moment and every day as a gift from the hands of God and tries to do His will? St. Paul says that if God is for us, who can be against us? Nothing, not even death, can separate us from God. Nothing can touch us that does not come from His hand. Is this too simple? Or are we just afraid really to believe, to accept it fully in every detail of our lives, so to yield ourselves up to it in total commitment?" This is the ultimate question of faith, and each must answer it for him or herself in the quiet of their heart and in the depths of their soul. But to answer it in the affirmative is to know a peace, to discover a meaning to life that surpasses all understanding. Now let me conclude by saying that although Father Walter had that insight in Lubyanka, of course when he was in Siberia, there were many times in which he struggled with how do I apply this to my life. But he realized, "This is the only secret I have come to know, and it is not mine alone. Christ Himself spoke of it, and the saints practiced it." Maybe in our lifetime, Father Walter will become one more of these saints. It is because of this particularly Catholic Christian understanding of the cross that this day is called Good Friday. This priest, this Jesuit, whose priesthood was joined to the high priesthood of Jesus, discovered the peace that does indeed pass understanding, because over so many years, he understood what it means to say with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, "My Father, if it is possible, let this chalice pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done."